I know when my children were, especially when I had my second child and I had a toddler and then I had a baby at home, I definitely felt like I was in survival mode all the time. I felt like there weren't enough hours in the day to get everything that I had to done. I felt like there were 100 tabs open in my brain.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to my podcast, Renew Motherhood. And this episode is, are you trapped in survival mode as a modern mom? And for this, I have got an incredible guest here. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Emily Guarnotta. And yes, I would love to hand it over to you. Please briefly introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from?
Thank you so much, Blanca, for having me here. My name's Emily Guarnotta, and I'm a psychologist based in the U.S., and I am a perinatal mental health specialist as well. And that basically means that I have some extra training in working with parents that are dealing with stress, anxiety, depression, postpartum depression and anxiety, and just any of the struggles that come along with parenting and parenthood. I'm also a mom myself, so I have personal experience with this topic. And I just think so many families are living in survival mode today and feel like they're not fully present in their day-to-day lives. So I think this is a really important topic to talk about.
Yes, thank you. Well, actually, I would like to start. Could you describe what survival mode actually looks and feels like nowadays? So maybe you can think of a typical situation that mothers are in and how it looks like.
Yeah, survival mode really feels like you're just trying to get through the day and you can't really think much farther ahead than that. It feels like you're so stressed and so overwhelmed that you're not really present in your life. And I can speak a little bit from experience because I know when my children were, especially when I had my second child and I had a toddler and then I had a baby at home, I definitely felt like I was in survival mode all the time. I felt like there weren't enough hours in the day to get everything that I had to done. I felt like there were 100 tabs open in my brain. Like if you think of an internet browser, a lot of people describe it feeling like you just have so many tabs open and so many things to keep track of. It's just so overwhelming. And survival mode is very similar to burnout. And burnout is a state of exhaustion that people can reach. A lot of times burnout happens to healthcare workers, like doctors, police officers, people who have really high stress jobs, where they can get to the point where they're just so physically and mentally exhausted. So that's why it's so important to catch survival mode before it becomes burnout, because burnout is a lot harder to deal with. It's kind of a further progression of already being in survival mode. It's when survival mode happens for a really long time and you don't really, you're not able to get ahead of it.
Yes. Okay. So what's one of the biggest misconceptions about survival mode that moms tend to have? Can you think about anything?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that survival mode is just what motherhood is supposed to be. That you just, as a mom, that's just what your life is going to be. You're always going to feel like you don't have enough time. You're always going to feel like you're surviving and that there's really no other way out of it. You know, at least I can speak in the U.S. I think there is a lot that our culture kind of conveys around motherhood of being very stressful, and we normalize how stressful motherhood is, mm-hmm. which is helpful in some ways because then we feel less alone when we know other moms are also stressed out. But it also kind of perpetuates this myth that all moms are just going to be stressed out all the time and that there's nothing we can do about it. And that's where the misconception is. There are things we can do about it to get out of the survival mode so we don't feel like that's just how we're going to live our entire, rest of our lives until our kids leave the home.
Yes. I would say, I'm in Germany, so I would say it's similar here. If you are not a busy mom, something is wrong with you.
Yes.
So you, it's kind of, you don't belong to those mothers, to motherhood, because you are not stressed. How can this be? So, it's crazy, but yes, let's just talk about this. Why do you think today's mothers feel more alone in their struggles than previous generations, for example?
I think there's so many factors. There are so many things that kind of factor into that. I think social media has in some ways helped us to feel more connected, but it's also at the same time, it's made us feel much more alone too. So a lot of us are comparing ourselves to other families that we're seeing on social media. And if we feel like we're not keeping up with doing what they're doing, or our lives aren't as exciting, we feel like we're not doing a good enough job, and that can make us feel really alone and isolated. A lot of families, I know, at least in the U.S., a lot of young families are living farther away from grandparents and other family members where they might have sources of help and kind of have that village that can step in and provide some support. So that can be very isolating for families too. You know, there's been over the last two or so generations, there's been a transition where a lot of mothers were working inside the home in the U.S. and now a lot of mothers are working outside of the home and partners are working outside of the home as well. So there's just a lot navigating two careers, two jobs, plus a family. It's very overwhelming. It doesn't really leave a lot of time for people to connect with each other, have friendships, social connections, or things that are going to kind of help buffer all that stress.
Yes. And if you have got time, then you spend this with your family. So inside your home, more than outside or meeting someone else, right? So except for colleagues at work, for example, I think this can also, sometimes it can be helpful, sometimes not. It depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, it depends on your work culture.
But yes, it's interesting. So who's taking care of the kids then?
I think, you know, it really varies from family to family. I know around where I live, there's a pretty big mix where some families have to utilize daycare or nannies to help with childcare. There are some grandparents that help, but I'm seeing that's not as common. I think because a lot of, like I mentioned, a lot of families live farther away from grandparents. Mm-hmm. A lot of grandparents are having to push retirement farther along for financial reasons, so they're not necessarily available to help with childcare. And during COVID, at least, I know a lot of families that were working remotely from home were also working full time and watching their children. And that was very stressful for a lot of people, kind of doing two jobs at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And you said it right, I think, having two jobs. So having children and to raise children is really like a full time job, right?
So, absolutely. Yeah.
You can't say, okay, let's make a break here. You go and do something else, especially if you have got toddlers or small children. They want to connect. They need you, actually, mm-hmm. right? So you have to take care. So have you spoken to those mothers who are doing a job outside and, getting outside and having a nanny for their children? How do they feel?
I find, at least with the moms that I work with, there's a lot of mixed feelings around having to use outside childcare. A lot of moms feel torn. They wish they either have to work for financial reasons or they want to work because they find a lot of purpose and satisfaction from the work that they do, but they need to rely on nannies or daycares for childcare help. And they feel kind of torn. They want to be the ones to do it all. They want to be there with their kids and they want to work and have these great careers. And it's really hard that I don't know if you're familiar with Arianna Huffington from the Huffington Post, but she had this really
so
good.
She is well known, but yeah. I'm not the one who is watching you.
She has this great quote where someone asked her, can you have it all as a working mom? And she said, I think you can have it all, but not all at one time. And that really stuck with me because, yeah, we can have it all, but in different seasons of life. And we really have to be realistic about everything that we're trying to do at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Yes, I can totally relate to this. I love this. So there is, you said it right, there is a season for everything. So yes, we have to feel the rhythm of life somehow, right? And if we can feel it's like a wave that we just have to follow, and if you can, yes, jump on it, there is only one task at a time, right? So, and if you have got small children, yes, maybe it's then first and then all the other things. And but I don't like to judge anyone. So it's really, I can totally understand that a lot of women have to work for financial reasons. And yes, how can a mom tell when she's truly in survival mode versus just having a rough day?
That's a good question. I would say, you know, you're in survival mode if every day feels like a rough day and it feels like there's no relief. We all have tough days. We have days where, or weeks that are just stressful or more chaotic, or there's more going on at home. But if it feels like every day is kind of a battle, then that's really a sign, and there's no relief in sight, then that's really a sign that you're stuck in survival mode.
Okay, so what are some subtle signs that a mom may be heading toward burnout?
Some signs of a potential burnout are feeling just very overwhelmed all the time, feeling very stressed, having difficulty sleeping. Often this can be difficulty falling or staying asleep because your mind feels like it's racing a lot. It can also affect our physical bodies. So sometimes people will experience things like headaches or stomach aches, muscle aches or pains or discomforts. That's definitely something to be aware of. Irritability is one that I see a lot, where people just feel very more easily frustrated, or like they don't really have patience with their children or their partner or other people in their lives, or feeling down, like feeling kind of depressed or just having a low mood, not really feeling very hopeful about the future, not feeling like hopeful that things will change or get better. I would say those are some of the most common signs that I see.
Wow, yes, that sounds very sad, actually. Do you have a number one advice for them?
There's so much advice. Well, first of all, my number one thing to say would be, it's not your fault. So don't blame yourself. Don't beat yourself up. The best thing you can do is catch yourself being in survival mode and make a commitment to do something about it. Don't get lost in beating yourself up or, you know, how could I have gotten to this point? I should have done a better job. I know a lot of us kind of tend to get into that mode of thinking, and then that makes us feel worse and we feel more guilty and it's harder to push out of it. So the first step is really recognizing, like, wow, I've been living in survival mode and I need to do something about this. And then from there, there's a lot of different things that you can do. I often encourage, when people are in situations where they're feeling stuck, I encourage them to get out a piece of paper. And you could do this by yourself, or, you know, if you have a partner, especially when it comes to survival mode, I would suggest doing this with your partner too. But brainstorm and list every possible solution that you can, even if it sounds kind of wild or like something you would never do, but list every possible way that you can try to get out of survival mode. So that might mean, it might mean scheduling a date night with your partner once a week. It might mean asking your parents for help with the kids. It might mean starting a yoga class. Just every possible solution, get it all out on paper without judgment, and then go back through your list of solutions and really evaluate, like, which ones are realistic for me to try, and how can I start incorporating some of these things, and try at least a couple of them, like maybe 3 to 5. And give it a good chunk of time, a couple weeks, try these things and see how it helps. And that's like the first step in starting to get you to take some action of getting out of survival mode.
So you suggested to take your partner, if you have got a partner, to get him with you inside the boat. Does this support you? Or what is the reason to say, okay, let's do this together? Perhaps she's not in survival mode. He feels good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, often when one person's in survival mode, the other person also feels like they're in survival mode, but certainly
Okay.
that's not always the case. But it could be a good opportunity to start a conversation with your partner about how you're feeling, and they may perhaps might not be feeling that, but you want to be able to explain to them that you're really having a hard time. You want to find some things that you can do on your own, but you also need some help from them, and that if they can shed some light on some things that might be helpful, that can just help the both of you. So I think it's a good way to kind of start that conversation together.
Yes, and to, well, it feels, if you just talk about it, I think it feels like getting closer together too, to go through this situation together and not to be separated, right? So that each of us lives his own life and not knowing exactly what's going on the other side, right?
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of times when families are in survival mode or burnout, there's not a lot of communication between partners or family members about how each person's feeling. So checking in regularly, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling about things? Are you struggling? What can I do to help? Those conversations are really important to have on a regular basis, ideally at least once a week. And it doesn't have to be anything formal. It could be very informal, just a couple questions to check in, but it is really important to have those check-ins together so everyone kind of knows where the other person's at.
Yeah, okay. So can you walk us through a daily routine that makes a mom from surviving to thriving?
Think the daily routine, I mean, it'll look very different from mom to mom. Different things work for different people. And this is what I tell people all the time too.
Absolutely.
It's like what works for me may or may not work for you, but I'd be happy to share kind of my routine that I've established over the last
Oh,
couple of
wonderful.
years. That's helped a lot. Typically what I try to do is I try, if possible, to wake up a little bit before my children wake up, so I have a little bit of quiet time. Doesn't always work out that way, but sometimes it does, and that's always nice when that happens. And I try to do 5 minutes of stretching in the morning, followed by about 10 to 15 minutes of meditation. And I found as a mom that meditation has just been really crucial in helping me, especially when I do it in the morning, kind of calm down my nervous system so that when the kids do wake up and then when we're rushing around to get ready for school or get the day going, I'm already in that calm state of mind. And it helps me tremendously. So I really try to do those two things in the morning as much as I can, ideally before the kids wake up, but sometimes it happens after. And we just try to make it work, or I might cut it shorter. So I try to be very flexible with it too. For me, exercise is something that really is a big stress relief. So I try to schedule that into my day. And I literally put it on my calendar. And I think that's why I've been able to do it consistently. Because we know as a mom, sometimes when you say that you want to do something for self-care, but it's not really scheduled, everyone else's priorities will come first. So if you can put it on the calendar and get other people on board, like your partner, or if you have other people who are able to help with childcare so you can get some self-care time, that can be very helpful. You can also try to incorporate your kids into it. So sometimes exercise might involve having my kids be a part of it or doing an exercise together or going on a walk together. So it's a lot of flexibility. And I think that that's so important as a mom in
Yes.
getting out of survival mode is just being really flexible.
Yes, I can relate to this. I think this is crucial to have this flexibility, because if you think this is the way to go and you're not going left or right, you always are in stress, right? So
Yeah.
if you can't do it, you feel guilty and you try to do it more, and it just doesn't help. So, and I think this is wonderful to say, okay, let's get your kids together with you in the exercises. And I know when I was, yes, doing some exercises, I always invited my kids and they had fun with it. So I was doing my exercise and they just played a kind of oh, I do this too, and look at here and look at there. And yes, it's even a better connection with your children too. So a win-win situation.
Yeah. And then they start to learn that that's your self-care. And it's important for them to kind of understand that, you know, that my mom does this because it makes her feel good. And this is her time. And at least in my experience with my kids, as they're getting older, they're kind of respecting that time more. Whereas when they were little, they were part of it. But now they say, mom's meditating. I'm going to give her 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, meditating is a stretch. It's a challenge to do with the children, I think.
Yeah.
But yes, is there one micro change you recommend moms start with to move from stress to calm? So would you say, okay, this waking up a little earlier than the kids do, or this 5 minutes stretching if it feels good for you, or do you have any other?
The micro change that I think we could all do that's pretty easy to implement would be just taking a couple deep breaths when you're feeling overwhelmed. The power of breathing. You know, people underestimate how helpful really taking deep breaths are when you're feeling like you're in survival mode and you're feeling really stressed. But you could do that at any point in your day. It takes less than a minute and it will calm your nervous system down, because when we're in stress, we're in fight or flight mode. Mm-hmm. Our sympathetic nervous system is activated. When we practice deep breathing, it activates our parasympathetic nervous system, which helps us calm down and relax. And it's very powerful and effective. So I would say, if there's one thing you can take away, it's just take a couple deep breaths when you're feeling overwhelmed.
That's great. And then you will actually notice how short your breath is, right?
Yeah.
To see, okay, how can I breathe deeply through my whole body? And it's better than to do this than to really to... Yes, get over and do the tasks of the day. So I think this is a wonderful advice, a wonderful micro change everyone can apply. So what's one surprising thing moms should stop doing that might actually add to their stress? Can you think of
something? I'm glad you asked this. So my answer would be, for a lot of people, again, not everybody, I think a lot, and myself included, social media and technology is something that a lot of us are spending more time on than we really should be or we want to be. And it can be a stress relief in some ways. It's kind of one of those things that temporarily relieves a little bit of stress, but actually causes more stress in the long term. So if you could just be aware of how you're using social media or how you're using your phone or other technology, and just, you know, get curious and ask yourself, like, is this helping me? Is this hurting me? How do I feel after I scroll on social media? And just kind of check in with yourself. And if the answer is, you know, I don't feel so good after I get off, or I'm feeling like I'm not good enough as the other moms that I'm seeing, or I'm feeling kind of anxious, then that's good information for you to consider, you know, reevaluating your relationship with social media or with technology.
Yes, I love this too. So, okay. Because I think what we are seeing on social media is always the good side, right? So everyone is placing the good picture, the nice, and the having it all. And it's not shown that life isn't like this, right?
Yeah, it's on showing the full spectrum of life.
Yes. Yeah. So sometimes if you get too much inside of this, you think, okay, I'm not enough. I can't do this. I'm not worthy, or feeling guilty. And these are the moments that all the feelings you shouldn't step into, right? Because this is just going downwards. I think if you just think about this, if you feel this, you're not present with your kids and you push, or you connect on the wrong way with your kids and on this deeper emotion, that's not good for them. So, and they can't understand, why is mom feeling this bad?
Yeah, it can really have a ripple effect. It can affect many different areas of your life. And it's kind of, it's it's kind of sneaky because you don't always realize when you're scrolling on social media that you're feeling bad or that you're going to feel bad. It's sometimes not until after when you reevaluate and take a step back that you can realize that it's not feeling so good. So I know for me personally, I'm always trying to ask myself those questions and just monitor how my relationship with social media and try to be aware of when I need to take a little bit of a break or a step back.
Yes, that's great. So always reflect what you're doing, right? Why do you think so many moms find it hard to ask for help? And how can they overcome that? Because I think, wow, if I look around, there are so many moms and I think they feel so stressed, but no one is asking.
Yeah. I think there's this myth out here, the superhero mom doesn't ask for help. She does everything herself. Help is a sign of weakness. I mean, we try to tell moms all the things, like it's okay to ask for help and asking for help means you're strong. But I think for many of us, still deep down, we believe that asking for help is a sign of weakness. And we really need to unravel that whole myth that a lot of us have, because the reality is we can't do it all alone. It's impossible. It's impossible. And for all of time, we've done it together. We've done it as villages. We've done it as families. And we need to continue to do it that way, because that's what works. And help might look different now than it did in the past. Perhaps help is your daycare, or is your nanny, or is having your groceries delivered. Those are all different ways that you can ask for help, and they all can be very helpful. But we just need to really be aware if that's our belief, and we need to challenge it, because asking for help is not a sign of weakness.
No, I totally agree. I always wonder, where does it come from? Do you have an idea where this comes from? Did you come across somehow in your studies or?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we've really pinpointed that. Some of us might have gotten messages from our own childhoods or our own families that have just kind of told us, or we've had ingrained in us, that asking for help is a sign of weakness, or we should do everything, you know, ourselves. Maybe we saw our own moms kind of do that and not ask for help. So we believe that's the way that we should be too. And there is this kind of superhero mom myth that goes around that a good mom does it all, does everything herself, and doesn't need to rely on anybody. So we really need to dismantle that myth. I'm not really sure where that myth started, though. But it seems to be around for as long as I've been aware of it.
Yes.
I don't know who started it. I'd love to talk to that person.
Me too. I would love to have an answer here. So what are some ways moms can find support? If they don't have family nearby or a strong local community, what can they do?
You know, I think it depends on where you live in your area. Postpartum Support International is a wonderful organization, and they're worldwide, and they offer a lot of resources for families. So in the U.S., we have local state chapters and even smaller community chapters. And I know they're in many countries around the world. So you can find them on postpartum.net and go on there, and they have free support groups and they have mentor programs. So that's a really good way to get connected and find support, and just, you know, kind of asking around, like, how other people are getting support or connecting. Maybe it's a Mommy and Me class. Maybe there are local organizations that have gatherings for moms or families where you can go and get connected and get support. Can certainly search online to see what's around. Kind of try to get creative.
Yes. Okay, so, and if you can't do this as a mom because you're too stressed, too overwhelmed, ask your partner, right?
Yes.
Can you look at some help for me? Yes. Okay, so if a mom only has 5 minutes a day to care for her mental health, what should she do with that time?
I love that question. I would say she should do whatever it is that makes her feel good. For me personally, that would be 5 minutes of meditation. For someone else, that might be a five-minute walk or 5 minutes of journaling. But whatever it is that you do and you walk away feeling good, that should be what you should do for 5 minutes.
Yeah, great. I love this. Yes, I was thinking of listening to music and dance 5 minutes long.
Yeah, that for some people that would be that would feel really good. For me personally, watching myself dance would not feel good. But
don't look in the mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
Just move. Okay, great. So I think this is a wonderful episode that we did, and I hope you all get so many insights here and can take something with you and apply it, because it's always in applying what you learn, and this will help. So if people like to get to know you more, what is your offer? Where can people find you and contact you?
Sure. So I didn't mention this before, but I own a mental health practice based in the U.S. and it's called Phoenix Health. So you can find us at joinphoenixhealth.com. And we do have Instagram and Facebook and TikTok pages and all those things. So you can find us there and please reach out.
So great. So you're not alone. You can always get some help here. Just ask, I would say. Thank you very much for being my incredible guest here, Dr. Emily Guarnotta. I really enjoyed it, and it was a pleasure to talk to you and get your knowledge on this episode. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And to all the listeners, please subscribe, stay tuned, and yes, have a wonderful day.